Good evening. This is Deborah Herman, and you're listening to Soul Odyssey Radio. Each week, we talk about different topics of the progress of the soul, something that I call Soul Odyssey, but it's based on a mystical system of seven lessons that are intended to give you tools to be able to change your lives and to change your thinking. Once a month, we do a show that is really one of my favorites, and because I am an animal communicator as well as being a mystic psychic, and that is Let's Talk Animals. And this is a live call-in. You can call in at 888-815-9756 anytime during the show, and if you have questions about your animals, animals in general, or you are also an animal communicator and would like to share your process, then you are welcome to call 888-815-9756. And every week on Thursdays, I go to see my horse, Tunk. And for those of you who have been on my Facebook page or my fan page, which is Deborah Herman Psychic Medium Soul Odyssey, you will see me with my horse, and I have a big smile, and he's got a big smile, and he's really a very handsome horse. I call him the Mystic Wonder Horse. And every week for about a month now, I've been seeing him and doing these little video blog types of things, because when I do animal communication, I'm not really sure how it works for everyone. I know that sometimes I see pictures, sometimes I get feelings, sometimes what happens with my horse is it typically translates into English. I am not sure how my mind does it. I know it's all telepathic, and it's different with different animals. For example, when I was first starting out and trying to figure if I really could communicate telepathically with animals, I was at Cape Cod and I tried to tune in to a couple of seagulls, and seagulls really don't like to talk to people, and they basically told me to go away, and that they didn't like people, and it was just a very clear message, and it was very clear energy, and then they stole our donuts, and so they weren't very nice. But I have found, particularly with my horse, that the communication is very clear and that he's actually been able to convey what I consider some very spiritual messages about love and life and how human beings really need to become more like a herd and to stop being so isolated from one another. And it's very interesting because I've been very saddened. And I've put something like this on my Facebook page. I really like Facebook, if you can't tell. I've been very saddened to hear about various suicides with young people. And particularly, you know, I have a best friend who lost her son and then also a year later lost her nephew. And, of course, we have Walter Koenig's son, and we also have heard of the very tragic news of Marie Osmond's son. And so I've been giving it a lot of thought, you know, what is happening in our society? And so I telepathically asked Tunk, I wasn't with him directly, but I connected with him, and he said that in the animal kingdom, animals don't really, you know, they wouldn't commit suicide. They wouldn't, like, jump off a cliff or something like that. But what they do sometimes if they're brokenhearted is that they will allow themselves to die. It really brought into an illustration because we have some neighbors who had these really wonderful little poodles, and they were always together. And one of them became ill with cancer, which unfortunately is very rampant with dogs these days, far more than in the past, and passed away. And for no reason at all that was visible, within a week, the other dog also passed away. so it leads me to believe that even in the animal kingdom, what happens is that people become brokenhearted and they become disconnected and they feel, you know, so sad and despairing and unsafe that in the human world, especially among young people, they find permanent solutions to what should be temporary problems. And it leads me to believe that we really need to find ways to be more supportive of young people and to help them to feel less alienated and to pay attention to who they are as people as opposed to what our expectations are of them. Because the children of today are totally different than generations past, and they're losing connection. The families are split up, and I think that we don't always know how this loss of a unit or of even if it's a broken up family, that's not the problem. It's the dissension. It's the way that parents often put kids in the middle and, you know, try to gain loyalty away from one parent toward the other. If that were happening in the animal kingdom, it would be awful because animals are so loyal. And they wouldn't be able to survive that way. And so if we look at how we treat our children in situations like divorce, we ask them to split loyalties. And that's one of the worst things that we can do to our children. So that was something that I was thinking about. And interestingly enough, I went today to interview Tonk, the Mystic Wonder Horse, and he was kind of agitated, and I was asking him again about the issue of suicide, and he basically said he didn't want to talk about it and that it's too sad. But then he also told me, and this was very interesting because I really never know what I'm going to get. And it's fascinating because that's what makes me know that I'm not making this up. Because any of you who are doing animal communication, there is a time when you think you have to be making it up. Because it's funny and it's strange at first. But he basically told me that he was tired of doing the interviews, even though it was his idea. He told me he wanted to write a book. So instead, we've been doing these video blogs. Well, today, he made it very clear to me that it was starting to feel like work and that he just didn't want to do it, and he wanted me just to brush him out and play with him. And so that's what I did, because now it's getting close to spring, and anyone who knows horses or has them, you know that you could build a second horse with the amount of fur that you're taking out of their coats. And so I brushed him, and he was all excited about that. And then I let him go free in an indoor arena, and he was running and kicking. And this is a very old horse. He's in his late 20s. And I just realized that he was telling me his true feelings and communicating, and it showed me how much depth animals have in their daily lives and how they have so many different emotions. And if he were unable to communicate that to me directly, because I happen to be sensitive and telepathic, he would have found other ways, which he was doing at first. He was knocking into me and just being, you know, a little prissy. They find ways to communicate, but it's easier for them if they find someone that they can actually talk to, because that's probably what they're feeling. And some people who spend a lot of time with animals know that just from their behavior and from interaction. But this is what he actually said to me. And then he said that as long as I come and play with him and don't only make it work, that he will please me and go back to doing the interviews. But he also suggested that I interview other animals and find out what they have to say. Now, this again, it's live call-in, 888-815-9756. I hope that you will call in with your comments or questions. Or if you're also a practitioner, I would love to know more about what you do when you tune into animals and how it appears to you. Another interesting thing happened today. I do some mediumship work, but I'm starting to also have the privilege of helping people pass over to the other side if they're still here for some reason. And so I had that experience recently where I helped two young men who were somewhat stuck. I delivered a message for them, and then with the help of a wonderful friend who's going to be on the show in a few weeks, we were able to help them cross over. And it was just a wonderful feeling of pure, radiant love. And I have my own dog. My oldest dog is an American Eskimo, and her name is Blossom. And Blossom's about 16 years old. And unfortunately, she does have a tumor, and it is, a cancerous tumor, and it's possible that she doesn't have that much more time. Now, of course, if it becomes uncomfortable, then or painful, then we will need to help her to make her transition. But even though I've mostly done my interviews with Tonk, I sat down and talked with her about it, and I realized that there aren't as many disincarnate animal spirits, because one of the reasons that people stay around and don't pass over into the light right away is that they're afraid of it, and they don't really understand what it is sometimes, or they may feel that they've done something wrong and that they're not going to be accepted or forgiven. We don't lose all of our programming when we pass into the other realm, because we do bring part of our personality with us. So sometimes that influences the experience that we have when we're making our transition. And I realized from talking to Blossom that animals don't really have that, because they don't have fear. They know where they're going. They know what it's like. They have memory of being either part of a collective consciousness, or they have memory of where they were before, or they communicate with other animal spirits. But we talked about it, and I asked her, because she told me it's my time. And there's no real linear time, especially when you're talking to an animal. And so I said, well, what does that mean? I said, is it tomorrow, or, like one night? And she said, no, I want to be here a little longer. And she told me all of the things that she really likes. She especially loves my husband, because it's very difficult for him to be going through this with her. She's been with us, for 16 years. And it's she's our oldest dog. And it's really difficult. But she reassured us and sent this message also to anyone who is going to lose an animal or has lost an animal, to understand that the tragedy or the loss is more on our part, just as it is with loved ones, but that they really go to a wonderful place. And she showed me pictures of it, and, she said that she would miss us, but that, we don't really have to worry about them and where they go. And so she has no fear. And when it's her time, it will be her time. It will likely be very soon. But I do feel a sense of peace about it. And we were actually able to talk about, again, this is a blessing of being an animal communicator. A lot of times you don't do things for yourself. But she was able to tell me and show me, you know, all the things that she really likes about life. She loves jumping in snowdrifts. She's hilarious, actually, because they are snow dogs, and she'll just stick her face right into a snowdrift. And she likes her biscuits and, you know, really simple things. Animals are so simple in what makes them feel pleasure and happiness. And I think that's one of the messages that they're trying to give us nowadays, especially because so many people are experiencing like an amplification of their ability to communicate with the animal kingdom. It's really for our benefit. Yes, it's great. They like us to understand them better, and then we can, you know, give them the things that they like. Makes it easier, because otherwise they just have to manipulate. They'll still get what they want, especially cats. But they want us to understand how to experience joy and how to be in the moment and to not worry. Because when I spoke to Tonk today for the little bit of time that he was willing, he said it again. Every time I talk with him, he says, people have to stop worrying. Because if you're worrying, you're blocking your light. You're blocking the ability for spirit, God, the angels, your guides. You're blocking them from being able to connect with you and give you guidance on how to approach your life and your spiritual path. So that's why the animals that I've been speaking with, my little animal family, that's the message they keep wanting to convey. And, you know, today Tonk seemed a little bit impatient about it. Well, I told them that last week. They need to stop worrying. And they need to, you know, not be afraid, and they need to get out more and create a herd. So I think he's basically said what he has to say for a little while. But it is a very important message. I want to remind you that it's live call-in, and I love talking to you about your animals. I know you're there. I know that I have lots of listeners this evening. Don't be shy. 888-815-9756. I'm sure at least one of you has an animal that is doing something that you don't understand. So give me a call, and I'll see if we can work it through, because it's usually something very simple. So, and I can feel you out there, but I can't make you pick up the phone. But I can tell you the number again. It's 888-815-9756. So I've told you a little bit about why I do animal communication. It's part of a whole package of healing work that I do. You know, my mission is, as I believe it to be, is to teach you all Soul Odyssey. And that has to do with the seven lessons. And the seven lessons are courage, tolerance, self-protection, self-love, ego, love of humanity, and God-love. And you can understand all seven lessons by looking toward the animal kingdom. And you can gain examples of ways that you can change your thinking in your life by looking to animals. They have a simpler life. Many of them have, you know, they work from instinct, and they don't have to make certain kinds of decisions that are as nuanced, because it is what it is. And, you know, so they're very blessed in that way. And they're here to be our companions. And horses, as Tonk has told me many times, are offering themselves to people who are interested in them to help you to be grounded and to help you find an inner peace. It's very meditative, and they really exude a great deal of unconditional love. They can be bratty, so you do have to be confident. That's another thing you learn by being with horses, because the second they know that you have no confidence, then they will get to you and be very bratty. We have, I believe it's Michelle from Spokane.
Yeah, Michelle from Spokane, Washington.
Very nice to speak with you. What can I do for you?
Well, I have a boy cat, and I had just had my other male cat put down about a year and a half ago. He got real sick with cancer, and then I kind of get messages from my old cat, and he told me to go down and get this new cat, and he's about a little over a year old. But I have two questions, actually. What he'll do is he'll just attack me and, like, claw my head and stuff and jump on me.
Is he also spraying?
It's kind of scary.
Is he spraying?
No, and he's been neutered. I had him neutered, and I kept him inside the house because I live on a busy street, and I'm afraid he's going to get hit if I let him outside, and so I don't know if part of it has to do with he doesn't like being cooped up in the house. He wants to get outside.
Well,
or if there's energy or something, I don't know.
Now, he's not peeing anywhere secretly?
Not that I know of. I haven't noticed anything.
Okay, because that'll probably be next. And I'm not wishing that on you, believe me. But cats find ways to communicate their feelings. Let's just put it this way. When my husband forgot to change he's in charge of litter. So when he forgot to change the litter, with another cat that we used to have, she put a little, present on his pillow. Okay? So cats find ways to tell you. All right. This cat is very bored. Absolutely, totally bored. Does he jump on your head more at night?
Yeah, more towards night, and sometimes it's almost like he's playing, and then other times it's like what I get from him is that he's telling me I don't want to be cooped up in the house anymore. I want to go outside.
Well, what you say to him about that is, how about no? Okay? You know, but you can talk to him with your mind. And what you want to do with animals is, instead of showing them what you don't want, you want to show them what you do want. And, you know, so send him a picture of being indoors. This is, what is the cat's name?
Chester.
Okay, you say to Chester, this is Chester's home. This is where Chester is. But I totally recommend that you get him toys, a scratch post that looks like a tree. You got to remember that cats are very intelligent, and they're active, and they make up little games in their heads where they want to be like Snoopy and the Red Baron, you know? He's bored, and unless you want to become a cat, you really need to give him things that will stimulate him, and then he'll let you alone. Now, of course, the other option is to get another cat, but then what might happen
is... I actually thought of that, but I wasn't sure if that was a good idea, if he would accept another cat.
They would work out their territory. The problem is that may be what I'm seeing as far as somebody peeing out of the litter box. They do have territory wars. I think you should start by getting him things that will be stimulating, or play with him at night and wear him out, like play with the little laser thing. You know that little laser thing? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I have one. You know that, huh?
Yeah. Play with that and just really wear him out, and he wants a playmate. And that's going to be, but you have to show him pictures about him staying inside. This is where Chester lives. Okay.
Okay.
And you're just—I mean, you're the boss. He's going to have to learn that.
Yeah, it's he's not, trying. I know. Not, I feel like when he does it, he's trying to control me. You know, like.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And it's scary to me because I'm thankful I don't have a child in the house, because if I had a child in the house and he was doing that to a kid, I couldn't have him. I'd have to get rid of him because it's, you know, it's very hurtful when he does it. So
I don't know if
that's exactly what I picked up.
I think it's probably a safe bet that you don't have a child in the house, but I sometimes think they know who to play with roughly and who not.
Okay,
he knows that you could be a potential playmate. So play with him appropriately and definitely get him a scratch post where he can go in and out. And then, you know, call back. If that doesn't work, call back for the next animal show, and we'll talk about step two, which may be getting another cat.
Okay, great. That I appreciate it.
Okay, no problem.
Okay, thank you.
Keep listening.
I will. I listen every chance I can.
Oh, thanks. Okay, well, that was fun. I love talking about cats. And cats are really amazing to tune into because they're really bossy. The reason people hang posters up that, you know, that the cat owns the house, it's because it really is true. But they're also wonderful companions, and I love cats, but I haven't really met an animal that I don't like. I haven't tuned into the reptile family very much. I especially like birds, and I've had an African gray at one time, and they're really smart birds, so I can communicate with birds. So getting back to the philosophy of animal communication, what I said to Michelle was that when you're trying to communicate with an animal, you want to show them pictures of what you want them to do, not pictures of what you don't want them to do. And that works best. If you're going to show a picture of, you know, don't pee outside of the litter box, the cat's going to see that picture. And they may say, oh, this is what I'm being told to do. So that's a better way to change behavior. But typically animals do what they do for a reason. They're always trying to communicate something with you. So, I'm looking forward to another caller, 888-815-9756. If you want to learn how to do animal communication, the best thing, of course, is to continue working on your expansion and your spiritual path, because being on your spiritual path automatically enhances your spiritual gifts. And I believe it's because you need to be the right vessel. There are people who are psychic who are not spiritual. And they just happen to have that kind of brain expansion. But people who are spiritual develop spiritual gifts, and they do it safely because they already have the foundation of, I'm doing this, you know, with God's guidance, with the guidance of my angels, with the guidance of God, because anything that involves energy has an impact, because everything is energy. So you want to make your energy as positive as it can be. So the work that I do with animals, it's always toward the greater good. It's always toward understanding or learning or experiencing the love of the animals. And again, I think that's why so many people are learning how to do this, because it's another step that allows us to connect with the energy that's available to us. And also, one of the reasons that I do animal communication is that it often becomes a bridge into family systems, because an animal is a way for people to focus their love if they have not developed a trusting relationship with the human beings in their lives, particularly children who've gone through abusive situations. They certainly find that animals are so healing for people who've developed issues of trust, or who have post-traumatic stress, or people with handicaps, because animals work totally on feeling. And it's so unconditional that a person who has difficulty with trust or who's healing from trauma can feel safe and can expand their own level of love and trust. So it's really a wonderful thing and a very important thing. And I think that animal communication should be used in therapy more often, because it's such a except of course if people are allergic, but it's such a vital way to reach into our souls and to understand that everything on earth is connected in some way, that nothing is really superior to another thing. It's really just different. The earth is on its own path. Animals are on their own paths. Plants, and humans. And we share this earth together. And there are ways for us to advance each other's growth just by sharing the same space and by expressing, you know, love through energy and through connection. So this is live call in 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756. And I really, it was very bittersweet talking to my dog Blossom, because for whatever reason, I had just not done it before. And it was really beautiful to see the simple things that she enjoys. She said to me directly that one of the things she enjoys the most is our food. But it's not just our food. If we put it in a bowl, she wouldn't like it as much as us. On occasion, even though we neither of us agree that we're supposed to be doing this, that we do slip her some chicken or slip her some, you know, some food, and she really likes that, and she likes the extra attention. And I think that if you are a person who has an older animal and it's one that is facing transition, it could be really wonderful for you to use that time as a way to develop your own ability to communicate. And it may not come to you as clearly as it does with me, because I actually hear them talking. But if you spend time with the animal and you massage the dog, let's say a dog, you massage the dog, and you're both just sitting there and very relaxed, you will start to see pictures, and you will start to receive feelings. But you have to learn, one of the things to learn is how to quiet your mind, because that's one of the biggest preventatives to being able to communicate with animals, is that you as a human have, noise. Because when I'm doing it, it's so hard to explain so that you can do it, but a lot of times what I do is I basically separate from my conscious mind, and I work with a different part of my mind. So my conscious mind isn't, you know, having all of this noise, and I'm tuning into the animal like a frequency, like you would on a radio. And that's when I'm able, you know, to hear the animal. Otherwise, I'd be walking around all day hearing, you know, things from little squirrels and little chipmunks and, you know, all day long. It would just drive me, you know, batty. Ha-ha, bats too. And so it's really, you learn to control it so that you're not just walking around all day open. It's the same thing with being a clairvoyant or clairsentient. You don't walk around all day open, if any of you have wondered about that. You take the time, you become centered, and then you focus in, and that's when you can get the messages. And so that's how you can also communicate with your animals. But when an animal is getting ready to make the transition, it can really be a beautiful time for you, just as if you were with a human, to help them to pass over. If any of you have been with someone who is making their transition, it's one of the most profound experiences you can have, to be there as the soul leaves the body. And some people are very frightened of this and don't want to think about it. But what we're really doing is, whether you're an animal or a person, is we're making a rebirth into another dimension, as we call it, the other side. So it's not, I don't like to call it a death. That is what people call it, but it is really a transition into another form of energy. So they aren't leaving. They're changing into another form of energy. And some of them do like to hang around. I still have a black cat that probably is what drives my dogs crazy at night. And he, I think, just goes back and forth. But they just move on. And it's a very happy place. We had one cat that, unfortunately, where we live, there are a lot of predators. And we lost this particular cat. And he showed us a dream about what happened. And when I spoke to an animal communicator, because you can't always do for yourself, she picked up that he just was having a great time and that there was lots of fish. And that would have been just so like him. And what he did for me, as Michelle from Spokane said in her call, he showed me a picture of a kitten and then showed me what the kitten was going to look like grown up. And it was this huge orange cat. And in fact, the next day I said to my husband, we got to go. And we got to go to this place. And we went there, and there was no orange kitten, and I was just so disappointed. And then the woman said, oh, but they have them today over at this store. They're doing adoptions, and I think they have an orange kitten. So I waited, and it was storming out. It was terrible, but I waited, and sure enough, they brought us this little orange kitten who was just this tiny thing. I used to hold him in my hand and sing, you know, Catman, and he was just in my little, he was little as could be, and he's now this enormous, enormous cat, same size as my dog, not the American Eskimo, but another one of my dogs, and it's exactly as what was in, you know, in my dream. So the energy continues, and they're connected, and there aren't accidents. We find our familiars. We find animal companions that are good for our lives because they enrich us and because they teach us things or they protect us from things. They say that dogs can see spirits and energy that we can't see. So in a way, if you're very sensitive to energies and you don't want to be bothered by them, having dogs is really a good thing, because they just keep your environment on a very high energy level, and they're very protective, not just on a physical level, but on a spiritual level as well. So when the animals find you or you're given a vision, act upon it, because it may be that your energy just needs to have this balance with this particular animal, and there are things that you learn from them. So, you know, I think, I know it's not available to everyone. Some people live in apartments, some people have allergies, it's expensive, but I think people on a spiritual path should spend time with animals. Volunteer at a shelter, go socialize cats, walk dogs, go to a barn if you can't own them yourself. But do take the time to really connect with them, because it will correct any energy imbalances that you might have. It's healing. It's like taking medicine. It's better than taking medicine. This, again, is a live call-in show, 888-815-9756. That is toll-free in Canada and the U.S. And I welcome your calls, because it's a nice little challenge for me. I have a website that you can go to. It's www.soul-odyssey.com, where you can learn more about me and the kinds of sessions I do with people and all of the details. I also have some products. I've created an adult coloring book that is an oracle, and it's wonderful fun. I've done it through automatic drawing. And you can send me questions if you want to know more about automatic drawing. And I've also created an oracle deck. And I look forward to hearing from people, and you can ask me your questions online, or you can schedule a private appointment with me. Again, that website is www.soul-odyssey.com. Don't forget the dash. And I also am on Facebook under Deborah Levine Herman, and you can find me there. And you can always post things on my wall, or send me a message, or send me questions. I know some of you are shy to call into the radio, but you will have your questions answered. So any of you who are curious about your animal or your animal's behavior, I'm happy to answer your questions. So catch me now. We have about 20 minutes left in the show. That's 888-815-9756. And you'll find that people who are empathic, if you're trying to learn about your gifts, if you're like a sensitive person, a clairsentient, or you're someone who picks up other people's feelings, you'll find that animals will be attracted to you naturally. When I was first learning about my gifts with animal communication, I always loved to go to preserves and places where I can see animals. And I went to one. Llamas and camels seemed to really like me. And so I went to one place where this llama was just nuzzling me, and it was so adorable. But at that time, I didn't really know how to connect telepathically. It was just a sense of love that didn't need any words. It was just this energy transferred between me and the llama. And it's just so wonderful, because it's so pure. Now I know that they can spit, but this one didn't spit. And there are a lot of things that I don't know about certain animals. So it's probably good to know because they are animals. You know, if my horse is running in circles and going crazy because I let him loose, in the arena, I'm not going to stand behind him. Because as much as he loves me, he is still an animal. And he may just decide, you know, to kick up his heels because he's happy that it's spring. You know, so you do need to respect the fact that in the animal kingdom, they have their own energy and their own instincts, their own protective mechanisms. If I were riding my horse, as much as we talk and communicate, if I'm on his back on a saddle and he were to get spooked, I could get hurt. So there's a difference between an animal being an animal and you being connected to that animal and being an animal communicator. They aren't humans. And what I learned today, from seeing Tonk, my horse, is, that I also need to respect, his feelings about certain types of things that, for him, it was getting really boring for me to just, although he'll do it in the future, that wasn't what he wanted to do today. He wanted to go be a horsey and be free. And so sometimes we anthropomorphize and think that animals are humans. They can let us into their world, and we can learn a lot from them, and they know a lot about us. They observe everything, and they seem to have a more, almost an omniscient perspective on things, but they are still other. They're not human. I am not going to make the mistake. I have a puppy who's very dog-like. My Whippet dog is more cat-like, but my puppy is dog-like, and she's got this big underbite, and she's got these big teeth, and so I've learned the hard way that if she's sleeping and I want to cuddle her, that I probably shouldn't wake her up. And now I know where the expression "let sleeping dogs lie" came from. Because if she's sleeping or half asleep, she's going to react from instinct. Okay, what is it that's waking me up? And she didn't come from a breeder. She was a rescue. She was lost in Mississippi for a while, living off the land. We think she was taken in by a pack of wolves or even if they were spirit wolves. But I have to be careful, and you don't pick a bone out of a dog's mouth. I haven't done that one yet. But they are still animals, but they will let you into their world, and we have so much to learn from them. We have room for another caller. If you call in 888-815-9756, I can take you up to the end of the hour. But I don't mind telling you more about animal communication. I do love when you call in, because then I get a greater sense of what you want me to talk about. So if this is if you're unable to call but you have some questions, make sure to contact me either on my Facebook, Deborah Levine Herman, or at my website, soul-odyssey.com, and ask me what you might want to hear on future shows. Each week, Spirit gives me a new topic to talk about, and sometimes we focus more on the seven lessons. Really, I'd like to know what you're interested in. I'm kind of a multi-purpose mystic. I have various gifts, and I do believe that it's my privilege to share with you and to teach and to guide you. And I know that many of my listeners are also practitioners, but this is a very challenging time, and we really need to join our energy together and to learn from each other and to find out, well, how do you do this and how do you do that? And to share what our techniques are, and to raise the energy around us, and to raise the vibration around us. This is a privilege to be able to do this kind of work, but it's also a responsibility, and we need to really, what I'm doing with this show is I want to make myself available to you so that you know every Thursday night at 6 p.m. Pacific and 9 p.m. Eastern and everything in between, every Thursday night, you can talk to me and you can ask me a question, whether it's about your animals or a psychic question. It's anonymous. I only know your first name. And you can connect and start to get the validation of things that you probably already know yourself. But we all need validation. We all need to know, is my instinct correct? Because the path that you're on is one that you march alone. And the sole purpose is for you to learn who you are and what is your authentic self. And to let go of illusion, to let go of fear, to let go of hopelessness. And transmute all of that into love, into courage, into being able to receive unconditional love. So all of this guidance is intended to help you have the tools to do that, so that when you go out into the material world every single day, you are that much stronger, you are that much more confident, and you have all of this love from God and the universe to draw upon. So that you don't get sucked in to the mud and the muck and the mire and feel that there's no way for you to change your circumstances, because the circumstances that you need to change are what's in between your ears. That's what you need to change. And the seven lessons and Soul Odyssey and what we learn on this show every Thursday evening, that's what's going to help you. Because you can be aware of negative thoughts, you could be aware of, I feel hopeless, but what are you going to do about it? You want to develop conscious awareness. You want to develop a way to reach out to other people or to connect with your animals, surround yourself with unconditional love. Some of you, especially men, you're only able to connect with your animals. I'll say a Seinfeld line, not that there's anything wrong with that. It's very risky and frightening to be able to connect with your spouse, with another human being, or even to fully love your children, because all of that can have the potential for loss or betrayal or abandonment. Even though our dogs have limited lifespans, they won't betray you. They won't abandon you. So let them be in your lives, because they're a bridge. They're a way for you to get past all of that fear and that sense of loneliness and disconnection, so that as you become stronger, you're able to take that to, you know, kind of rewire yourself and put all of that love and energy into a relationship with another human being. Because as the horses are meant to be with horses, we are meant to unplug and to be with other human beings in person. We are meant to form communities. I love Facebook. I love that I can reach all of you on the internet, sitting in front of my computer on Skype. I love this. But I'm also here to tell you that you've got to get out, you've got to reconnect with each other, you've got to create community, and you also have to connect with your children. You need to help them to stop feeling alienated and isolated from other human beings. And we need to, in many ways, just turn back the clock, find out what's important. Obviously, so many of us are experiencing financial woes that materialism is not going to be the way of the future for many, many people. It's not going to be who's got the most toys. It's going to be who has internal satisfaction and an ongoing relationship with the higher power, with God, with spirit, with the creator. We have to return to internal ways of self-satisfaction. Get in touch with your creativity. I've always been kind of an indoor person, but don't listen to me. Get out there in the woods. get out there and sit by a lake. Go with your children somewhere. Go spend time with animals. Just reconnect and find out what's important to you and what's important in life, because you will change the future by doing that. It's so much more simple than what we think. It has nothing to do with politics. It has nothing to do with wars, because if we each change on the inside, there won't be wars, and politics will reveal itself as being the emperor's new clothes, because so much of it is illusion. And we will be able to change things if we change ourselves. So join me again next week. This is Soul Odyssey Radio. I'm Deborah Herman. I am your host. I'm a mystic, psychic, animal communicator, and I am so thrilled to be able to reach out to you. I hope you'll reach out to me and join me again next week. Good evening.